the last couple of shows have been, you know, feel good shows about, you know, solar power and green architecture. And this will be a little different. I have two guests, and I'll have you guys introduce yourselves so that people have a voice to go with the names rather than me doing it for you. Sandra, we'll start with you.
Okay. Hi, I'm Sandra Steingraber. I'm an author and a biologist and a visiting scholar here at Ithaca College in Ithaca, New York.
And give us some of the books you've done.
I'm the author of a book called Living Downstream, which is kind of two books in one. It tells the story of my diagnosis with bladder cancer and my return home to my hometown in Illinois to become a kind of environmental detective there, looking for environmental links to my own disease, and as well as it represents my best attempt as a biologist to summarize the links between cancer and the environment, including chemical contaminants that we're exposed to through drinking water. I'm more recently the author of a book called Having Faith, named after my now 8-year-old daughter, Faith, and I'll leave it to listeners to ponder why a cancer survivor might name a child Faith. And this is an exploration of the field of fetal toxicology, which looks at environmental threats to pregnancy and early infancy.
And I should mention that Living Downstream, there's excerpts on the internet. If you do a search for Living Downstream, you'll find bits and pieces of the book and give you a nice taste of what's in there. And Ruth?
Hi, I'm Ruth Kaplan. I'm in Washington, D.C., and I chair the Alliance for Democracy's campaign on Defending Water for Life. We're very active in the Northeast and also on the West Coast. I'm also the chair of the National Sierra Club's Water Privatization Task Force, and we've been doing a lot of work on bottled water with both of those organizations.
So we get, you know, an awful lot of ads and bottles, pictures on bottles of how wonderful bottled water is, isn't it?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Nestle has a lot of brands, and one of its brands is Ice Mountain. It makes it look like it's coming from the Rockies or something like that. It's really coming from Michigan. So there's a lot of deceptive advertising that they're doing. The first thing that people need to know is that when you drink either Dasani or Aquafina water, that's put out Dasani by Coca-Cola and Aquafina by Pepsi, that is simply tap water, which has been put through some extra filters and then sold for many, many times the cost of tap water. I did a little study in Boston and found that those two brands were about 1,200 times the cost of turning on your tap.
So that's 200 times more than 1,000 times the cost of a tap. And I should mention that one of the places that Coca-Cola bottles their Dasani water is right here in Queens. In Maspeth, Queens, they bottle Dasani water. So, and it's New York City tap water. And it's interesting that a company that was called New York City Water, they bottled New York City water and were upfront about it. Well, they went out of business. Whereas Coca-Cola can bottle New York City tap water, call it something else, and everybody goes, oh, this is so much better than New York City water.
The other company that is actually number one in bottled water sales is Nestle. They bottle under a number of different brands. And in the New York area, the brands that you're most likely to get are Poland Spring, which comes from Maine, and also Deer Park, which is bottled in Pennsylvania. Now, these are spring water sources, and what it's important to know is that the bottled water is not regulated by the Environmental Protection Agency like our municipal water is. It's regulated by the Food and Drug Administration. Somehow there's an amazing transformation that once water goes into a bottle, it's no longer water, it's a food. Would you believe it? So FDA does not do inspections itself. It depends on the industry. They're only required to test once a month. And as a result, there have been a lot of studies showing the problems with bottled water. And for instance, the Natural Resources Defense Council did a study looking at 1,000 different brand bottles of 103 brands of bottled water. They found contamination exceeding allowable limits in at least one sample from about a third of the brands. This is included. They found synthetic organics, bacteria, and arsenic. The other thing that's come up recently is that they're finding that as soon as another study done in Europe, not the NRDC, has found that as soon as you cap the bottles of water, antimony starts to leach into the water, and after 3 months, the level of antimony, which of course is toxic, has risen by 175 times. So there's quite a few problems just with the water that goes into the bottled water. The problems with the plastic itself is a whole other set of concerns.
Well, a friend of mine, well, Chris Kampanik, who does a comic strip called HIV and Me, was told, and then therefore put it in a strip, that bottled water is better than tap water. It's regulated better, although he did specify, make sure you get bottled water that has to cross straight lines because it's better regulated. And he pointed out that certainly the tap water in Milwaukee is a lot more unsafe than bottled water. Have things changed?
Well, I think that, first of all, the reason that you know that the water in Milwaukee has a problem is that it is very carefully tested by EPA. It's not that all municipal water is perfect. We have a responsibility as citizens to make sure that our municipal water authorities are meeting the EPA standards. Mm. And it's important to know that that water is tested many times a day, and the bottled water is not tested that way. Now, when Coke and Pepsi use municipal water, of course, it's already been tested by
right.
the EPA, but not Nestle's water or any other of the smaller brands that sell spring water. That is not tested that way.
Well, let me chime in here with a couple of ecological observations as well. I mean, in addition to these kind of amazing revelations that Ruth is offering us, I'd like to add that even if the bottled water were everything the advertising claimed it was, and far more pure and safe than our tap water. In fact, two things. First of all, we all have an intimate relationship with our tap water, whether we drink it or not. And that's because most of our exposure to chemical contaminants in tap water don't come to us through drinking, but rather through inhalation. And that happens every time you turn on your dishwasher, or you step into a shower, or you turn on your washing machine, or even flush your toilet and create turbulence. The volatile contaminants will evaporate into your airspace, and you will breathe them in. And when we've quantified this, it turns out
when you
out
say
that,
volatile contaminants, what do you mean?
Well, I'm talking about things like byproducts from chlorination. These are things called trihalomethanes. I'm talking about pesticides, or in the case of my hometown drinking water, there were trace amounts of dry cleaning fluid, perchloroethylene. So these are volatile, meaning they quickly evaporate, and when you raise the temperature of the water, for example, by taking a shower, it turns out that bathing and showering is the exposure equivalent of drinking a half a gallon of tap water. So you can drink all the bottled water you want from France or Iceland or Fiji, but you take a 10-minute shower, and that's the exposure equivalent of drinking a half a gallon of tap water. So we cannot opt out of the water cycle. We are a part of our drinking water, whether we carry bottled water around or not. And in fact, you might remember those children that were profiled in the movie and book called A Civil Action. Very good book, sort of mediocre movie starring John Travolta. Those kids in Woburn, Massachusetts, their parents alleged there was a cancer cluster of leukemias in those kids from contaminated drinking water. Interestingly enough, part of what came out in the trial was that many of that water was so contaminated it tasted bad. So, in fact, a lot of the parents bought bottled water for their children to drink. They got leukemia anyway, and the route of exposure was through the contamination of indoor air. So we really can't save ourselves by drinking bottled water. That's the first thing. And the second thing is that even if this water were so much better for our health, it's just not a sustainable option to tap water. I mean, water is heavy. It weighs 8 pounds a gallon. And spending all this fossil fuel transporting water from France, Iceland, Fiji, wherever, to us here in New York State is just not a sustainable practice. Ruth made mention of the manufacturing and disposal of the plastic bottles itself. That's something I've done some investigative work into. And the environmental impacts of that are considerable. So I actually follow the noted economist Monica Hargreaves in my thinking on this. You know, Monica has flown around the world and helped nation states with their currency, has helped start a local currency here in Ithaca. And she's also a master composter. And when people ask her, well, how does composting and economics fit together? She'll say, well, I like both things because I hate waste. Mm-hmm. And that's how I feel as an ecologist. Drinking bottled water is a very wasteful practice. It's not like organic food. And so whether you're motivated by your own health to think about drinking water, or whether you're motivated by larger ecological concerns and a concern for generating more waste, either in either case, whether you're thinking collectively or individually, bottled water really doesn't make sense.
And just to add to what you said, Sandra, the figures that we have, it's about 10 billion bottles of plastic a year that gets thrown along the roadside and into our landfills.
10 billion with a B?
Yes, with a B. And it's not the companies, the corporations that are paying for that landfill cost. It's taxpayers.